countdown to Christmas on Thursday. Good morning. It's Brent Laux filling in for Evan today. Hopefully he's back feeling better tomorrow. The Evan Bray Show each and every weekday morning from 8:30 till 12:30 on CJME Regina and CKOM Saskatoon. We were just having a conversation about the Regina City budget that was finalized this past Friday. Not surprising. We have some texts that are coming in at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Happy to have you call as well, because it's open phones right now. Anything on your mind? Good? Bad? Something bugging you, somebody you want to salute, you want to send out an audio Christmas card, if you will, you can reach me on our phone line at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Marina says, I am so ashamed of Regina City Council. They have no consideration for homeowners. I guess when it's not your money, they don't care. No wonder why young people can't afford to buy a home. That's from Marina in Regina, 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. And speaking of buying a home, a little bit later on this morning, after 11 o'clock, we're going to check in with Chris Garrett with the Saskatchewan Realtors Association, talk about what's going on in the housing market in different centers around the province as we look back on 2025, and what kind of trends that she thinks may come our way in 2026 as it relates to real estate, home buying. And yeah, it's challenging for young people, especially coming up with the money, the down payment. I know they will keep telling us that Saskatchewan is still probably the least expensive place in Canada to buy a home. That's true, but it's still not cheap. 1-877-332-8255. Anything on your mind today with open lines? Give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. Did you catch any of the Prime Minister's year-end interview with Rosemary Barton on CBC on the weekend? I know there's a lot of people out there don't like the man, don't like his politics. But I will give him credit in there that he made it pretty clear that his government is doing things, planning to do things differently than his predecessor, the Trudeau government.
We need the investment now.
Yeah.
What the country, it's not about me, what the country is getting out of it is action. The country is getting investment, investment in clean energy, investment in nuclear, investment in carbon capture. Investment in carbon capture, most people will hear that and of course they think, well, what does that actually mean? It means the equivalent of taking 90% of the cars and trucks off the road in Alberta. These are major investments. Listen, we have too much regulation, not enough action. We're meeting on a day when the results of the previous climate plan are being released. And the fact is we're not going to meet our targets under a climate plan that had all the things in it that you said.
Yeah, but
we need to get going.
It's hard to understand how removing things, policies, that are not going to get us to the targets and potentially building another pipeline will get us there.
Rosemary, what gets us there is doing things, and saying that we won't do things and then nothing happening
does not
progress. That we've had that. It hasn't worked. This government is 100% focused on doing things that are going to reduce emissions.
Yeah.
We are going to grow clean energy in this country at a scale never seen before. We put in tax credits in the last budget should be worth more than $40 billion over the course of the budget, just from the investment that comes from that. And we're not stopping there. We're not just putting tax credits. Sorry, I'm going to go on about this. But we're not just putting tax credits and saying, well, if we put the tax credits in, let them come. No, we spend time with the government of Newfoundland and Labrador, with Quebec,
okay,
with Ontario, with Alberta, with British Columbia, to get this moving, because we recognize, and I think all the premiers do recognize, that we need to get moving.
Prime Minister Mark Carney in conversation with Rosemary Barton on CBC, and she also asked them this memorandum of understanding that Ottawa reached with Alberta. She said, well, is that not going to cause some disruption, maybe some uncertainty for all the other provinces?
One piece of a broader puzzle. The MOU is one piece of a broader puzzle. I will point out the Prime Minister, the Premier of Quebec, as did the Premier of Ontario, as did the Premier of Nova Scotia, as did the Premier of Saskatchewan, as did the Premier of Manitoba, I can go on, all supported the MOU. The MOU creates the possibility of many things, investment in nuclear, investment in inner ties, investment in data centers, investment in carbon capture, yes, and a potential pipeline. Now we start those discussions with British Columbia. British Columbia, with whom we are producing the world's first, you know, zero carbon copper mine, that we're creating a Northwest Corridor in British Columbia of clean energy, a conservation area the size of Greece, and unlocking the world's lowest carbon LNG in the same time, in partnership with BC. These link together, or they have the potential to link together, but these are decisions that we'll take as governments, as different parties.
I found it interesting how he said, basically, there's too much regulation in Canada. We need more investment. So lots of positive words, but are we going to see some action on these? Time will tell. On the phone line, 1-877-332-8255, got a bunch of people with our open lines. Les, what's your problem?
Well, that was about the biggest horse pucky I've ever heard come out of a prime minister. He's setting this up, actually, with Rosemary Barton and the Canadians. He's trying to tell everybody everything that he's putting it together is for Brookfield. Carbon capture. No, what's he setting that up for? Carbon credit system. Nuclear. There won't be a pipeline at all. I guarantee it. And why not put a pipeline in? The first pipeline put in 25% of our GDP. Another one will put another 25% in, boosting our GDP. Unreal. Far faster, far quicker than this nuclear that it'll be 20 years, 25 years down the line. Unbelievable. I've never heard so much gaslighting in all my life, Brett. And Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you, Les. Les gives a thumbs down to the Prime Minister's year-end interview. Merlin in Outlook, how's things? How's the water?
Hey, it's very good. Thanks to a great crew we've got in Outlook. We survived a bit of a catastrophe. So I just wanted to salute them, wish our town crew a Merry Christmas. Luke and Kevin and our Mayor Ryan have done an amazing job.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Ryan and Kevin on Friday morning, and they were saying everything was pretty well back to normal at that point, except they were still asking people to boil their drinking water. I think Kevin said they thought everything might be totally back to normal by Tuesday. Is that still pretty well the situation?
I think that's the plan, but it's sure nice to turn on a tap and flush the toilet.
and have a shower, too.
we take things for granted, man. It's unbelievable. So thanks to our great gang out in Outlook.
Sounds good, Merlin. Merry Christmas to you. Regina City budget is on the minds of Julian. What's on your mind here, Julian?
Hi, Brent. I appeared as a delegate last week because the city invited us to, and I was talking about an issue that nobody here in Regina seems to be talking about except me, and it's that 600 kilometers of old asbestos cement water pipe we've got in Regina.
Mm-hmm.
We had a research facility here that said it was a huge concern, and that was 2 decades ago. Now, when you look at the research, you'll see these old pipes are breaking around the world, but we're very slow to do anything about it here in Regina and in Saskatoon, where you have 350 kilometers of them. So if you want to look at something that's going to cost a lot of money, if you wait for it, it's the old pipes under the ground that nobody's talking about.
So you think they're just kicking the can down the road on that issue?
They've been kicking the can down the road on that issue for decades. That research facility was at the University of Regina in 2005. 10 studies from the National Research Council. They all talk about health concerns from the old pipes. Wonder what those are.
Appreciate your call, Julian. Julian in Regina, not liking the fact that City Hall not moving on the removal of asbestos pipes, something that's got a long history, not only in that community, but a lot of other communities across the province as well. We're heading towards news here at the bottom of the hour. Still to come this morning, interesting interview on the way later, just after 11:30. Dr. Howard Chertko, originally from Saskatoon, born and raised here, does some amazing work. He's a research scientist that deals with neurodegeneration, you know, looking at people whose brains are deteriorating. And he's saying this is a good time of year. Family get together. You maybe haven't seen some members of your family for many months or over the year. He says just kind of take a look, an assessment. How are they doing? Anything changing in their mannerisms or perhaps memory? So we'll talk to him about that here coming up after 11:30. But he's also got some positive news about research and other things that may be going on in your brain that may think you maybe have you thinking it's the onset of Alzheimer's, but there are other things that can be dealt with, and it may not be Alzheimer's. It's the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux, happy to be filling in today. Hopefully Evan's back in the chair tomorrow.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
What's the date today? 22nd? I really got to think about doing some Christmas shopping. Good morning, it's Brent Laux. Happy to be filling in. Evan Bray, a little under the weather, hopefully feeling well enough to be back in the chair here tomorrow. Weather-wise across the province today, temperatures still staying below normal. Nothing too nasty on the horizon, but a chance of a few more centimeters of snow for Saskatoon and Regina through the course of the day here today, and maybe some ice pellets, they're saying, in some parts of the province as well. Off our text line at 1-877-332-TALK. It's open phones time. Open phones means you can send me a text, you can give me a call. Doesn't have to be a negative, doesn't have to be something that's bugging you, although those calls are welcome. But if you got somebody you want to send a shout out to, maybe here as we approach Christmas, 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. We had the caller talking about his concerns about the asbestos pipe in Regina that still has not yet been dealt with. We had a text in from a listener saying in Saskatoon, they're replacing lead pipes used for water service lines by January of 2029. And he says that's the only sure way to remove any trace of lead in water. The work is being done in conjunction with necessary water main and road upgrades. From 2017 to the end of 2023, this listener says about 3,200 lead service lines were replaced, and approximately 1,300 lead service lines are remaining in the city of Saskatoon. And I'm not sure how that works, and maybe this listener who texted this in could tell me, who pays for that? Like, I had it in my mind that if you're a property owner and some of that lead pipe is on your property, do you have to pay for that? You know, I understand the city doing the lines out on the street and up to your property line. I'm just asking. I don't know. Maybe the city foots the whole bill for those lead pipe replacements, or maybe homeowners in those older homes may have to foot some of that bill as well. But it's work that it's good they're getting done. Sean says, Regina City Council, one and done. How does a homeowner budget for an 11% increase? Sean in Regina says, typical to have sitting politicians blaming it on their predecessors. 1-877-332-8255. You can call or you can text. Kathy says, I don't feel sorry for Regina taxpayers who are going to have to pay over $400 a year more in taxes. Kathy says she lives in Palliser Regional Park and my taxes have gone up over $2,000. In 1 year, she says, I received no services in return for this taxation, and I'm not eligible to vote for the board who levy these taxes. Consider yourselves lucky, Regina. That's Kathy off our text line at 1-877-332-8255. Hey, have you seen the video for this? Well, maybe you haven't. You can get online. It's on YouTube. If you just Google Rough Riders dad jokes, this is kind of cool. You can listen to it. It's just a couple of minutes here. You get the sense of it. And for all the dads out there, maybe you need some new material. it might be what you want. Dad jokes with Trevor Harris and Jake Mayer on YouTube.
Okay, Trevor. What did Santa say when he stepped in a puddle? It looks like it rained, dear. What do you call Santa when he's on a break? Santa Paws. How much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
How much?
Nothing. It was on the house. Yeah. You know, I went to a concert the other day. It only cost 45 cents. It was 50 Cent featuring Nickelback.
What do you call Rudolph after he scores a touchdown? Rudolph the red-zoned reindeer.
What do you call fish if he's wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated.
Why was the snowman looking through the carrots? He was picking his nose, Trevor.
What did one snowman say to the other snowman?
Hit me.
I smell carrots.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho, who?
Your Santa impression needs a little work, buddy.
You got me. You know, I got fired from the bank. Before I started coming up here, I worked at a bank. I got fired. Guy asked me to check his balance, so I shoved him.
What is Santa's favorite state? Ida, ho, ho, ho.
Well done. Why couldn't the bike make it up the hill? It was too tired.
Trevor and Jake, Ryder quarterbacks telling dad jokes. It's one thing to hear those fabulous jokes. It's even better when you watch it just to see their expressions as they share their jokes back and forth. If you just Google Rough Ryder dad jokes, you'll find it on YouTube. It's 9:42. Brent Laux filling in today. The Evan Bray Show continues on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Music of the season. 3 days till the big day. John Mellencamp saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. Good morning, Brent Laux filling in. Evan Bray under the weather, hopefully feeling better and back with us tomorrow to take us towards Christmas time. So this story caught my eye over the weekend where the Lakeland Fire Department up Prince Albert Way, north of Prince Albert, posted that they had been called out to Emma Lake just before noon on Saturday to help recover a cross-country skier who'd gone through the ice on Emma Lake. And the picture they posted on the Lakeland Fire Department Facebook page, you can see a person or persons some distance out on the ice. They said it was about 150 meters off the shore, that their team was able to get the person out of the water. And by the time they got them back to shore, there was an ambulance there. So that's all we know about that, that individual. It must have been frightening for that person, to fall through the ice, be in that frigid water. And thank goodness someone must have seen or heard something that they're able to call to get that person recovered. But we don't have any information as to that person's condition. However, we thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about ice thickness. We've got Sean Jakes, president of the Saskatchewan Water Security Agency, joining us to talk about it. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Brent.
So you deal with all kinds of water, liquid and frozen, I see.
Yes, we do.
So you actually came out last week with a bit of a reminder to people about ice thickness. What's the message that you want people to understand?
You know, as freezing temperatures, you know, settle here in Saskatchewan, WSA does like to remind the public to use caution around all water bodies as ice thickness can vary across the province. And as you know, we've had a warmer than normal fall. And so ice conditions may not be as stable on many lakes, rivers, ponds, and which can may take, several more weeks of cooler weather before the ice is safe. And so, you know, what we do, we like to remind the public that if you're planning any activity on frozen water, whether it's snowmobiling or ice fishing, it's important to observe recent weather conditions and make sure the ice is safe.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, I think about this person who was cross-country skiing off the shore of Emma Lake, and I saw people posting on Facebook on the Lakeland site, and they were saying that they'd been out ice fishing on Emma and that they had holes cut that were 14 inches deep, but clearly in this area where the person fell through, it really speaks to how it can be so variable on one body of water.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And, you know, ice can look solid from a distance, Brent, but it still could be thin, weak, or inconsistent. And, you know, we do remind the public to, you know, avoid ice that could look slushy, you know, that maybe have thawed and froze again. You know, maybe there's moving water nearby. You have to be cautious. Is layered, you know, caused by sudden temperature changes, you know, or has, you know, structures on it such as pressure ridges. And so, you know, as a guideline, you know, and it's also on our website, you know, we want to remind the public you need at least 10 centimeters to be able to walk on the ice, you know, at least 20 centimeters to drive a snowmobile, 30 centimeters for a car, and 30 plus centimeters for, you know, to drive a truck out on the ice. So those are just some guidelines, but we, you know, we always encourage the public to take, you know, to look closely before you head out onto the ice.
Because you really do do so at your own risk, that you can say, well, it's been cold for the past couple of days, I'm sure it's fine. But I guess until somebody actually drills a hole in the ice, nobody can really tell how thick it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ice can be unpredictable and quite often difficult to assess at times.
Okay.
So to be sure, you know, we do ask the individuals to follow the guidelines, you know, that we've indicated, and, you know, always check the conditions first to be safe.
But you always hear every winter, you know, you often hear of a vehicle going through, be it at a lake or somebody doing a river crossing. It's not a problem till it's a problem, right?
Exactly.
I appreciate the information. People want to take a look at those ice thickness guidelines. That's the website for the Water Security Agency, wsask.ca. Thanks for your time, and Merry Christmas, Sean.
Merry Christmas, Branton. Thanks a lot.
You betcha. Take care. Yeah, frightening for that person. Gosh, I just can't imagine going through the ice and being significant distance offshore. Again, we don't know the whole story here as far as whether or not there was someone else with the person that was able to alert to get the fire department out there to get them, or whether someone on shore heard or saw something, but they were able to retrieve them from Emma Lake after falling through the ice on Saturday morning, and ambulance was there waiting. But all of that must have taken some time. And I just, being in that freezing water. It's 9:53, 7 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we've got three people involved in law that are going to join me. Of course, this is one of Evan Bray's favorite parts of his show. It's the Roundtable of Justice. And our three guests today are going to help me understand and help you understand as well what's called the Jordan ruling. And that ruling impacted one very high profile case in Saskatoon, where a little girl was killed after being hit in a crosswalk. The case, you know, by the time it got to court, the judge said, you've taken too long. And the charge against the woman driving the vehicle was stayed. So that's part of our discussion, as we're going to get into it here between 10 and 11 on the Round Table of Justice. My three guests will explain what exactly the Jordan ruling is, why the Supreme Court decided to go this way, and what it may mean for you or your loved ones if you find yourself in a situation where you've been charged, and what your lawyer's strategy might even be. Roundtable of Justice coming up here next hour. Brent Laux with you. Anything on your mind you want to reach me on? 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. One of our listeners from Regina says, that's not Regina. This is in reference to Kathy from Palliser Park, and she had texted in that she's facing a $2,000 annual tax increase. This person says, Kathy from Palliser forgot to mention what her taxes on her $1 million cabin were before the tax hike, or how the park is going to hook all the cabins up to their reverse osmosis water system that they just installed. This person says, I think the average taxes used to be under $200 a year. Another one about Kathy. This is from Greg, says, just because Kathy from Palliser is being fleeced by her counselors doesn't mean Regina residents deserve the same treatment. Greg says, I was born and raised in Regina, and the mayor should have let residents vote on the aquatic center and fluoride in the drinking water, but did neither. There's no democracy anymore. That's Greg in Regina. Anything on your mind today, Saskatchewan? Love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. And for Les from Corning, who called in being rather critical, he gave a thumbs down to the Prime Minister's year-end interview with Rosemary Barton on CBC on the weekend. Just for you, Les, we got a little more of what the Prime Minister had to say in that interview. And he was asked by Barton, well, you have this memorandum of understanding now with Alberta. Doesn't that put all the other provinces in a delicate position and may make for some instability?
One piece of a broader puzzle. The MOU is one piece of a broader puzzle. I will point out the Prime Minister, the Premier of Quebec, as did the Premier of Ontario, as did the Premier of Nova Scotia, as did the Premier of Saskatchewan, as did the Premier of Manitoba, I can go on, all supported the MOU. All supported the MOU. The MOU creates the possibility of many things, investment in nuclear, investment in inner ties, investment in data centers, investment in carbon capture, yes, and a potential pipeline. Now we start those discussions with British Columbia. British Columbia, with whom we are producing the world's first, you know, zero carbon copper mine, that we are creating a northwest corridor in British Columbia of clean energy, a conservation area the size of Greece, and unlocking the world's lowest carbon LNG in the same time, in partnership with BC. These link together, or they have the potential to link together, but these are decisions that we'll take as governments, as different parties.
It was interesting to hear the Prime Minister say there's been too much regulation, referring back to the Trudeau administration, and not enough action in Canada. So, great sounding words. Are we going to see some action moving forward? I know in Alberta, the drawing board in Alberta talks of a pipeline construction beginning in 2027. But have they got the investors? Is it going to be strictly government funding that will push this project? We shall see. And it's going to be an interesting year ahead of us, listening to the Prime Minister, of course, talking about the CUSMA trade negotiations that are going to get started here coming up in the new year with Mexico and the United States. And we know that Donald Trump, of course, is probably going to get more and more, or want more and more of that agreement go his way. Challenging times. This is the Evan Bray Show. I'm not Evan Bray. I'm Brent Laux. I'm filling in today. Evan under the weather. Hopefully back tomorrow. You're listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.